Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Reminder, we do go into spoilers here and there, so if you want to avoid that, start at one of our previous episodes, play along, and come back next time. So, as we, you know, we talked last time that you had done a number of quests that I don't think I had maybe found but hadn't started due to lack of time, mostly. Progressed quite a bit in this last week. I did continue a quest I had received from some people that Preston wanted me to recruit last time. They sent me to a mine to kill some raiders, and to be honest, I felt pretty damn underleveled, since a lot of the enemies had skulls next to their name, which I think is the symbol for they're way higher level than you, because they kept killing me very quickly, and I was using a lot of health items. But either way, I just kind of powered through it. It was an interesting level, though, anyway, as I was working my way through basically a lot of scaffolding to get down into the pit and then into the tunnels themselves. Then there was a bunch of narrow kind of hallways full of raiders until you reach a boss raider. And then things got even weirder once you get past the mini boss, because there's a point where there are a ton of ghouls, these really weird kind of flashbacks or visions. So basically your vision would cut out and it would cut to something else. And there's this weird kind of cult ritual going on. And by the time I get to the final kind of back room of the cave, you can dive into this irradiated water column tunnel, vertical column with a hole in it to where that ritual happened, because it looks the same as kind of set up. And I was able to pick up two mini nukes and this weird melee machete thing, which has replaced my nail baseball bat and is my primary melee weapon now, which is awesome. Have you run into this quest?
No, I'm listening here like really intently, like that is weird. No, I have not done that quest. Do you remember what the first place was that you had to go help? Like the who Preston tells you to go talk to?
I don't. I can go find, because
I have a couple like still on. Yeah, I still have a couple on my map that like I haven't spoken to.
That's the thing. Preston sends you just like a constant list of people to go help out where, and with two recruits of the Minutemen makes sense lore wise, but it ends up sending you to a lot of weird places, and this mine was absolutely a wild one that I didn't expect when I got really there. Weird. I thought, because especially since it was kind of layered full of a bunch of raiders first, and then you kind of peel back those layers and get to the weird stuff. But it's great to have weird stuff and not just regular old humans. So that was cool. And you did also go into detail of the Silver Shroud quest. So wherever I was when I started this or ended that mine quest, I fast traveled back to Good Neighbor, spoke to, what was the guy's name? Kent, the ghoul Kent, who's running the Silver Shroud radio station, to pick up the quest, because you had described it so well and described the armor that I felt like I felt probably could use. It would come in handy, especially after getting completely destroyed many times in the previous one. So I'm curious, now having done it, I'm curious about your experience, because I went through the whole quest line choosing the Speak as Shroud dialogue options.
Yeah, so did I.
And it created the funniest conversations, because your character just turns into this, "You shall not harm anyone else."
Yeah.
And it's the goofiest thing, and nobody
your
played along.
Your consequences will not go unjust.
Nobody was playing along. It was basically just your character saying funny crap, playing a character, and everyone else is either confused or annoyed by it, with the exception of Mayor Hancock, who thought it was kind of funny and played along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think through this process, I guess technically unrelated to the quest itself, but in the midst of all this, I got Detective Valentine's affinity up high enough to unlock his companion quest. Did you get to that point at some point in this week?
Oh, I don't think so. What's his companion quest?
Because I think the previous one that I got the full perk for was Codsworth, which you just keep doing things that he likes, and then eventually you end up getting the perk from it. With Nick, you get the companion level. I don't know if there's a place to actually see how high the level is, but you get to a point that he's satisfied and wants to sort of get your help with something. It requires finding 10 separate holotapes. Nick, as at some point, explains that he is based on brain data from multiple sources, but the primary one is the actual original Nick Valentine from 200 years ago. So his brain data is from 200 years ago. This guy, original Nick Valentine, was looking for somebody, and the person that he was looking for wanted to live a lot longer, but didn't want to be cryogenically frozen. So he underwent voluntary radioactive treatment and turned himself into a ghoul. I don't know if he knew that he was going to be a ghoul, but this is what happened. But so he locked himself inside his own personal vault. So it must be a rich guy. But truly locked, and as a ghoul, probably doesn't really know much. So Nick thinks he's still locked in there. And now our Nick Valentine that we know and love is going to go kill him so he can't escape and wreak havoc like before. So to find out what he needs to know to get to the vault, we're on this very fetch quest of going to nine. He gives you the first holotape, going to nine more police stations to grab the holotapes. I'm sure it'll have a nice payoff in the end, probably some kind of interesting items. And I got to support my boy Nick. You know, he's been killing it as my sidekick. So I'll see it through naturally as I go to the corners of the Commonwealth throughout the story and everything else and find more police stations. But for the time being, since I know I can't advance his companion level until I do that, I finally went back and grabbed Dogmeat as a companion since I left him home after I got Codsworth way early on. And right away, I equipped him with a bandana and some light dog armor that I had just found.
Very cool.
So that helps protect him a little bit. More recently, I think in the last quest I did before logging off, I ended up getting Piper because supposedly Dogmeat doesn't have an affinity level. He's just kind of always neutral. So you might as well get the perks out of the other companion options, which I kind of just stumbled upon.
Yeah.
As a piece of information from Reddit. So that's good to know. I mean, Dogmeat is great, but you get perks for other things, kind of like the one from Codsworth. Anyway, so back to this happened as I killed, I think, the second of the three guys on the hit list for Kent. Mm. After finally tracking down Sinjin, like you said, who was holding Kent at gunpoint, you said he immediately shot him, right?
Yeah.
So I opened the elevator door. And I had your story in my head. Since they didn't start shooting at me immediately, I took a moment to scan the surroundings and kind of hatch a plan. So I was just standing in the elevator, just looking around. I whipped out my laser musket, literally the one from the Freedom Calls quest that Preston gave to us.
Yeah.
Walked in. Talked to Sinjin with the goofy shroud voice multiple times to the point that his minions actually just said F it and walked away. But Shroud had just said right before that he was going to blow Kent's brains out. So the second the minions walked away, I pulled up Vats and headshot him three times with the laser musket in Vats and blew up his head. And was really surprised that I somehow managed to save Kent. And wow, I still love that gun.
I dropped that gun a little bit ago. Actually, semi-recently.
It's very inefficient because you have to mash square to crank it up every time you want to shoot. But it does a lot of damage still, I think. I mean, at least for my character, it seems to be pretty efficient and fairly accurate, too. So I don't think I'll be ditching it anytime soon. But yeah, so Kent was alive. He kind of just thanked me and said, I'm not going to be doing the crime fighting anymore. And then ended up seeing him back because the end of the quest, you had to go and talk to Hancock again. And he was there talking to Hancock. And so I kind of like cheered him up and then went on my way. But that was it was a nice kind of like you're a bounty hunter type character, I guess.
Yeah,
I think the Silver Shroud is more of like a superhero, like vigilante type, but it felt more like being a bounty hunter because Kent just sent you on a bunch of hits.
And then so did Hancock.
Yeah, and so did Hancock. Exactly. So it was a good time all around. Quite long, but it seems like some of these more meaty, more involved side quests end up being some of the most interesting ones too.
Yeah, they do. It does seem like that. Yeah, they definitely have, but that one was really interesting.
And then you mentioned you had already finished Lost on Patrol.
Yeah, the Lost Patrol.
Last time as well, right? Okay, so you already described that to an extent, but right, that's where you go and you find, oh, no, we didn't talk about it.
No, we didn't talk about it because you were like, oh, I'm on that. And so you were at the part of like crater.
I found the first guy, basically the guy in the crater with the distress signal, and then find that there's more people to find. And so it takes you to, I don't know, I totally remember. The third one I remember being in one of them is in the kind of a section of satellite towers with filled with super mutants. And the other one was somewhere else.
I thought
it was in the National Guard building. Was the second one.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And so, I mean, it's kind of a standard quest, right? You just end up finding the next distress signal, fight the ghouls, I think, in the National Guard, and then fight the super mutants in the satellite array. And then you find the next distress signal, and it tells you about Paladin Brandis, who's in a bunker, who's way north. He's like basically at the upper edge of the map. And so I went, I went through the whole quest line following distress signals, found Paladin Brandis in his bunker, who is like really on the defense thing. How the hell did you even get in here? And you have to kind of convince him that you're safe or whatever. At this point,
you're not a threat. Yeah.
There are, what I started to notice was like, I had already had a fairly high level in a number of points in the charisma stat, which lets you do the speech checks. And I kept reaching points because at most people's conversations get to a point where you can go into like basically a red check. And I kept failing them. So I was like, no, I'm just going to start adding more points to this. I also, side note, I did end up adding points into the lock picking one as well, because you'd mentioned, and you see so many advanced and expert lock picks options as well. But so Brandis was my last straw, and I was like, okay, no, I'm just going to max. So I ended up maxing out the charisma after this because I wanted to just get through all those conversations.
I'm only at like six charisma.
Okay. I mean, there's plenty more useful things, but it's in the RPG sense, I guess that's kind of what drove me to it.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But also on the way to Paladin Brandis, I ran into some random settler on the ground and gave her, she was just asking for water, and I said, what kind of water? So I gave her purified water. I'm curious if that will come back to help me later or if I just wasted water. I know in a game like Red Dead Redemption 2, that will absolutely end up coming back around because they really designed that system well of like the living world. But I'm curious what happens here, if anything, or maybe nothing at all. But yeah, I mean, I think it was fairly straightforward quest. Is there any sort of anything in particular that caught your eye on this one?
No, I don't think so. For the Lost Patrol, it was following all the distress signals, getting there.
Yeah.
For the super mutants, there was I had a missile launcher. So for the ones up high, I launched missiles at them, and I took some of them out, which was kind of fun. But otherwise, it was just doing that, and then you go back and report to Dance.
Okay. So,
to Paladin Dance.
Yeah. So
after meeting Brandis.
Yeah. After meeting Brandis. So there is my sticking point here with the Brotherhood of Steel. Did that, right, the thing to complete the Lost on Patrol quest required you to go back to the police station, talk to Dance, and I believe there's a next step. I don't know that I'll ever be able to see the next step. I'm already part of the Brotherhood of Steel, but I don't think I can follow their quest line anymore because it bugged. There was no ship of any kind or vertibird on the ceiling of the police station, and Dance just kept repeating, there's Kells, follow me. If I hit X, he would spin and look at me. There's Kells, follow me. But then didn't go anywhere, and there's no ship to go to. And the quest marker for board the vertibird is now at the Boston airport, and there's no vertibird there either. So whatever I did, I don't know if it was just didn't waited too long to do this quest and did other things or what the hell happened. But apparently this whole process bugged me out of boarding the vertibird anywhere, or it just makes it not appear. So I can't go to the Pridewen, which is the giant airship, to attend the debriefing as part of the main Brotherhood of Steel side quest. I can't start Shadow of Steel, which I have unlocked, but I can't join it. So that's cool. If it doesn't unlock by itself, Yeah, I mean, I think, and from what I've read, because I was trying to resolve it, right? I want to see what happens there. I think, you know, I guess from the perspective mostly of just loving power armor in general and the concept of it and all of that, more than anything else, is why I really wanted to follow the Brotherhood of Steel quest to a certain extent and like learn more about this part of the Fallout universe. And also, I mean, from the TV show is very interesting. I don't know that I would necessarily join them in real life because they're very kind of culty, but basically I'm locked out of continuing. So unless it, and I didn't want to also load up a save from 5-10 hours previous and then redo everything. So if it doesn't unlock by itself at some point, I'll just know that the Brotherhood is not my fate and I'll join some other faction, I guess. Their loss.
Yeah, I guess so. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's okay. I guess we've known and heard over many years between Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and I don't know if Starfield has it too, but all Bethesda games are heavy on bugs. I thought they meant bugs like, I mean, I saw a Brahmin double-headed cow floating in the air once, or, you know, people would clip through the building or the floor or anything like that. Like the typical game bugs, but this is like a major, at least I can finish the story, I hope, but this is a major game-breaking bug that you can't even continue a quest line. So that's kind of annoying. But hey, that's just what we got to deal with, and I'm not going to replay it, so I'm not going to jump back 10 hours to try to replay it. So no, we'll just continue.
No. Yeah, just continue on. Hopefully it will resolve itself.
So the Brotherhood's loss is everyone else's gain. And then I did also, you mentioned you did last time and it hadn't started, was the Taking Independence quest for the Minutemen where you start storm the castle. I was, when he was describing, I mean, I acquired the quest a long time ago, and I think I might have forgotten the specific details, but I thought it was going to be full of raiders or something like that, and it's not.
Nope. Nope. No, it is not.
I'm
assuming you finished it.
I did. They're called, what, Mire Lurks?
Is it Mirelurks?
Yeah. I think so. They're the giant crabs, basically. I was actually pretty worried that I was going to also not be able to finish this quest, because after you get through the main combat section of it, there's a part where you have to set up a radio and whatnot, and Preston had disappeared off the face of the earth, and I was setting up these power generators to set up the radio, and none of it was working. So it had bugged as well. And so I looked that one up online, and fortunately I found this. It took a lot of searching because every other thing recommended other options, but the one that worked was actually just sitting in the radio operator's chair and then resting for 24 hours. And then everyone was back to normal and I was able to finish it. But I was worried I wasn't going to join the Minutemen or like continue the Minutemen either. So I'm you know, it's that one I lucked out of.
How'd you do against the Queen?
So the Taking Independence was a, you know, considering I was getting kind of destroyed in that mining quest earlier, I'm still at this point in Taking Independence fairly underleveled. And I want to say, I mean, I was getting one shot by the Queen. The very first time she popped up, I was on the ground next to the radio station, the radio kind of control center. And I was like taking shots and like doing like, you know, maybe 5% damage with a shot with a semi-powerful, like not my best weapon, but a reasonable one. And then she just came up and whacked me in the face and I died. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to start doing this from the top level. And she was spitting her acid so far. It didn't kill me quickly or anything, but I was just kind of running in circles and then none of my stuff was doing enough damage. So eventually I was just like, all right, screw this. I pulled up, I took a psycho buff, which is the awesome, I think it's 25% damage boost.
Okay.
Which is one that you have to build at a chem station combining psycho and buff out and something else.
Oh.
Very useful. I also like I like medics too, which is the less damage taken,
yeah.
But it's a useful thing. So I had 8 missiles and a missile launcher, And I used up all of those 8 missiles with VAT specifically just to make sure they hit. I was over getting one shot killed. And eventually it took her out. I mean, I used up those 8 and it got her maybe 70% down. And then I don't remember what other weapon I used, but yeah, it was tough and took a couple tries, but I figured it out. How was your experience with this?
Mine was good.
I know you're a much higher level than I am.
I was getting still like one hit by her. She still would destroy me.
All right.
And then what I found is like, I found where she was coming out of the water and before she could even run into the, I had Nick Valentine with me and I was like, hey, I was going to Nick and being like, hey, Nick, hand me that fat boy that I gave you to store. And so I just shot 3 mini nukes at her. And I killed her before she could even get in the castle.
Okay.
I just shot her with 3 mini nukes from the fat boy.
So I got a little stockpile of mini nukes, actually, that I haven't used yet.
Thing is,
and
powerful.
I wanted to use. I brought one into... I mean, I'm surprised it took 3 mini nukes to take her out. So that's a strong... How big is the... Is there a mushroom cloud and everything?
No, it's just like a...
It's just a big explosion? Really,
no. It's just a big explosion.
Okay,
and you kind of have to aim up because they don't shoot very far.
A grenade launcher trajectory.
Yeah, you gotta aim a little higher.
Interesting. Yeah, I've got like, I don't know if it's like 12 or 20 or what, but I brought one to the Glowing Sea thinking, okay, I'm gonna use it in here, and then didn't end up using it. I used a missile launcher and
at that point I had like 4 or 5, and I used 3 of them. Now I have a few more.
Well, but that's a good move. I guess I got to figure out what I'm going to use it on because I don't want to go the whole game without using a mini nuke. That'd be crazy.
No, it's fun. Yeah. I like the missile launcher too, though. I do enjoy that.
Missile launcher is fun. Yeah. There's a lot of games that show up actually in the like, I mean, obviously we're both on PS5 here and the loading screens are very short most of the time. But there's a lot of guns that you get previews of that I really want to try out, but I've never seen at a shop and I've never seen to pick up. Like, I want to get the baseball launcher.
Oh, you can get that at the guy in
Diamond
City who talks about baseball.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think he
sells
it.
Have you tried it?
No, I don't have it. I'm pretty sure I saw that on his list.
I want to go buy it just to see what it does, like if it's any good.
Like, I have one baseball grenade.
Yeah, there's a baseball grenade. There's something called a modified baseball thing, too, which looks kind of like a canister grenade. There's also like a Chinese grenade launcher, which looks kind of cool. There's a bunch of weapons that
I have
cool,
that.
But I just haven't seen. Okay.
I have the Chinese grenade launcher or whatever it is. I got that from a previous side mission.
But yeah, so, I mean, I was able to finish taking independence, fortunately, so I'm not casting out the Minutemen just yet, but the Brotherhood's a goner. They're dead to me. And let's see. Okay, the other one that you said you had already done that I hadn't done last week, and then we'll kind of get to the more recent stuff, was I did the Freedom Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And following the Freedom Trail actually exists in Boston. It's a pretty cool way to find a secret society. And you had to pick up the, what's it called? The kind of number codes.
Yeah, the clues of the number code on the... Yeah,
because you could kind of realize you have to follow the trail and just walk the whole trail and then end up in that, not know what the hell to do. But hey, I mean, can't come up with a more obvious password than railroad.
No, it wasn't too hard to figure out.
Yeah. Still a cool method though, and they're in the sort of catacombs with full of ghouls, and you meet Desdemona, which. You know, they're all kind of nut jobs down there in the railroad. You get a warm reception with, I think, what is it, a minigun and just a regular old pistol pointing at you the second you open the door with a spotlight in your face. I mean, yeah, okay, you found a secret society. It kind of makes sense. But I suppose the fact that their whole mission is to try to liberate the synths from the Institute is pretty noble. There's the... Later, someone, I think it's Deacon, mentions that some people think only the Gen 3s, which are the ones that look, you know, the replacements,
look human.
And other people think, oh, okay, the previous ones, the ones that look like Nick Valentine, shouldn't be, they should just be I don't know if it was killed but not saved. So, there's some gray area there, but I kind of think they have a decent mission behind them, the railroad. So, I can support that. I also found that Deacon is so out of place. He talks like a laid-back surfer dude, and he's one of the main investigators of the group. It's really weird to hear him talk.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. He stands out. He was a weird, compared to who you originally meet there when you go into the railroad, how everyone's dressed, yeah. And then he was dressed like...
He's dressed like a elf, like Johnny Bravo, kind of, I feel like.
Okay, that's a good one.
He's got the Johnny Bravo hair and a bit of the attitude, which I don't know that I even saw that show that much, but it still stands out. And he's talking you up, like he knows all the stories about what you've been up to, which is, hey, I mean, I get a fan club, that's fine by me.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I mean, at this point, you get your first mission to basically qualify for the railroad. It sounds like that's typically a much longer process, but Deacon talking you up helps you out. And then they give you the mission called Tradecraft, which sends you to their previous headquarters to recover something that the doctor of the group
needs. The prototype for Dr. Carrington.
Yes, yeah. The prototype, yes. So I ended up deciding, okay, well, every time I've run into one of these other people or other factions, I've immediately gone and done whatever it takes to join them. So I did that too here. And you end up meeting, I mean, at this point, yeah, I was planning on just going to the Glowing Sea and continuing because I had wrapped the quest we had talked about. But you end up meeting Deacon below a bridge or an underpass, and he's in an even goofier outfit trying to disguise himself. I just chose to just flatter him and say, couldn't even recognize you, just to, you know, be part of the railroad. But that's a weird guy. And he said something about face changes.
Yeah, he said he changes his face and his looks and everything like every 2 years or something. So I was like, what?
Just like, all right, dude.
Just thinking, making me think of that movie Face Off. John Travolta.
Exactly. John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, isn't it?
And Nicolas Cage, yeah.
But
yeah, that's what made me think of, like, I was like, what? You just
swap. I was like, what do you mean you
do? I was like, also, where is this technology?
Or like, yeah, who's the, I mean, I guess they got a doctor in the group, but does he have like steady scalpel hand?
I don't know.
He just doesn't seem like a plastic surgeon, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
How did you go about this quest, Tradecraft? Like, because you have to go and talk to the what they call it, the tourists, so you get some more information about what's going on down there and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I think I, lied to the tourists and basically said what Deacon was saying was right. I think I was actually able to get a persuasion, one that actually went through and didn't fail, so that helped.
Yeah, I had him provide sniper cover.
He didn't do anything for me. I just finished talking with him, and he was like, because otherwise he was like, oh, I thought you were here to kill me, man.
Yeah, I was able to convince him to provide sniper cover, and then I didn't need it because I didn't actually go through the minefield. I just went into the secret tunnel.
Yeah, I just went into the secret tunnel as well. I didn't even...
So he was just, I mean, maybe he's still waiting for me to come back. But yes, you pop into the secret tunnel. Did you find anything interesting down there?
Not really. I mean, it just killed a bunch of synths.
That's true. I do like how you pop out in a donut shop, though.
Yeah, that was fun. I just meleeed all of them with my sword.
I was one hitting or two hitting. The Chinese officer sword?
Yeah, I think it's what it is. It's a serrated sword.
Yeah. Did you pick that up?
I bought that. No, I bought it.
You just bought it. Okay. I have seen it in the shop, and I was like,
traitor.
It sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, it does.
But I have this little weird spiky machete thing that is working fine too.
I just gave myself the deal 20% more melee damage perk. I just unlocked that.
So you're using a lot.
I've used this melee a lot. Yeah, I use it a lot. I was like, I'm just gonna up this.
It does seem useful, especially for the people that try to melee you.
Yeah, there's that. Or there are some raiders, I'll just run up to and I'll go slice, and it's just one hit.
on Raiders. Yeah. Yeah.
It was for some of these synths. Some were one hit, some were two.
Huh. So you can one hit a synth with that, with a melee. And do you have your strength at max?
Yes.
I mean, I guess do. Strength is really just...
I feel like strength is just to carry weight, and then you can add more carry
it's
weight.
Carry weight. Yeah, yeah. On. It's carry weight, and I think it says one other thing that it adds to, but you've added to your melee. So, maybe melee is a route to start going down.
I just like using the melee weapon. I mean, I like the guns, but I also really like just meleeing. Yeah.
But, okay, I guess the only other kind of item of note that I found in there right before, in the, even in the same room as the prototype, was a hazmat suit.
Yes, okay, yes. I grabbed one of those and gave it to Nick. I was like, hey, Nick, hold on to this for me, because it's got like 1,000 radiation protection.
I grabbed both hazmat suits that were there, even though at that point I was also with Nick, so I gave him one to hold. But we had already found out that the robots don't need it because they don't get affected by radiation. So I just said, all right, I'll just hold on to this in case I end up with a real human at some point, which I have now given to Piper. But I think the even cooler is that you can use it inside of power armor, so you double up on your radiation protection.
Ooh.
So I most definitely used that combo in the Glowing Sea, but...
I wish I had. I did this after I finished the Glowing Sea, this mission.
The
so I do wish I. Okay. Yeah, I do wish I had that for
well,
that.
If you head back that way, then definitely throw it on. So at this point, this is where I went on to do the Glowing Sea. So, What other side quest did you take on this time?
I took on a few, but I only speak on a couple because some were just small, not really meaning too much.
Yeah, and anything that you had an interesting story from it, or?
Well, yeah, like I did the one that's bugged out for you. I did the Shadow of Steel, and then like the two after it. Did the Vertibird.
Well, tell me about those because I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
You get on the Vertibird, you fly around Boston, and like you're on the gun, and he's like, "Oh, shoot anything you see that." Isn't human. Just don't make a mistake. But I didn't really see anything, so I didn't really shoot. Then you fly to the airport. And then you... Do you fly to the airport? You fly to the airport. No. You fly to the airport, but then you get hooked up into the... Is it Pridewin?
The Pridewin, yep.
Yeah, the Pridewin. You get hooked into there. Right when you get off, it says, go talk to Captain Kells or whatever. So I speak to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like... He's like, you want to join us, blah, blah, blah. Do you think you're good enough? And I kind of answered some snarky and some like, yes, I think I'm good enough. Then you go talk to Elder Maxon, who kind of tells you like what they're there for. And he hates super mutants. I can tell you that with a passion. He hates super mutants.
I mean, if you think about it, a full suit of power armor versus a super mutant seems like the most fair fight that you can find.
Yeah. So you do that, you talk to him, he gives you like a mission to do, like, you're going to help us out. I want you to go take out this island here. Is like a fort here with an armory that this armory is filled with mini nukes and stuff. And we want the armory, but it's being taken over by super mutants. So take out this little island and clear it all out. But before like you do that mission, you then go on this thing called like, it was the mission called Tour of Duty, which is funny. Where you just go to like, yeah, where you just kind of go, you talk to the doctor who asks you a few questions about your health and other things. And then you say like, oh, I was a vault dweller. He's like, wow, you're probably the most healthiest out of anybody here if you're a vault dweller. You talk to him, another guy who's wants like documents and all that. He's like, if you say like these technical documents around, pick them up for me, I'll pay you in caps. Then you speak to a lady who is in power armor, and she says, oh, yours is suit is over there in Bay 3 or whatever, so you pick it up. Oh, and when you're speaking to Elder Maxon originally, you literally go straight to being a knight. He's like, I'm going to make you straight a knight. He's like, you can go get your power armor. I was like, oh, sweet. He's like, not even a paladin. Just go straight to knight.
Oh, a knight past a paladin.
I think so,
Why did he do that? What did you do to deserve that?
I don't know. Nothing. Just that we were going to help.
Okay. So you got a free set of suit of power armor?
Mm-hmm. So you go there, you can
get your extra
suit of power armor. I now have like 4 suits of power armor just randomly around.
I only have 2.
So I did that and spoke to, there was one more person. I forgot who the last one was. But it's just like, you just speak to people, get your stuff. You have a locker that you can, I think in the locker was just like some grenades and ammo on the ship. It's sort of set up, obviously, like the ship is like, there's a whole level where all the soldiers are with bunks and other things. And it's set up like that.
Like an aircraft carrier, but in this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So then I went and did the island. So I then hop on, you fly down to the airport and then hop on another vertibird that then flies you over the island. And as you're flying over it, there's a behemoth on the island that you get to take out with the Gatling gun on the side of the vertibird.
Which is a cool. What now?
A behemoth?
A behemoth? Okay, I've seen those in Final Fantasy. What does that look like here?
It's just a super giant super mutant. Like, it's like 3 super mutants stacked into 1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's huge. So I took that out while flying around it. And then they land you. And then you land, and I stayed on the Gatling gun, and all these super mutants like ran at me, and I just mowed them all down and then got off. Got off, and there was only like 1 or 2 left. And then just, it was easy to kill those. And then you go in there, and then you kind of just, there's a few more inside the armory, and then you just clear it out. Then you're good. That was it. That's all I've done. Those were those missions. So it was pretty fun. It was cool to like fly in the vertibird and kind of like an AC-130 or whatever, just shoot the gun on the side. It was cool, like seeing it from the TV show.
So I do hope those unlock, and you're in the sky. I would like to experience at least some of that.
Yeah, I guess also, yeah, because now like the Pride Wind is now another place where I can just go and like set the power armor if I want to, and then pick up like other goodies and stuff I need, which is kind of nice. It's just, I guess it's sort of like a sanctuary. It's just another place I can go and, like, Good Neighbor, like, Diamond City,
convenient.
All that. I know. Because you can't fast travel to it.
Even better.
So I did those. Yeah. I did those. I then did, there was 2 that also went together called Crucible and Out of the Fire, where you have to go to the Ironworks. Crucible, I think, was. No. These are just regular side quests. Those are the only Brotherhood quests I did. These ones are regular ones. You go to the Ironworks. I think the Crucible was one of those ones that was already preloaded when we loaded in the game.
Oh, yes. That's one of those Creation Club ones.
The Creation ones, yeah. Because you go in there, you take out a bunch of people in the Ironworks, and then you have to craft these flame-resistant legs for power armor. Like, there's a power armor suit in there, but it's like a really, it's not really a power suit armor. It's kind of like just makeshift, but you can you craft these flame resistant legs to then retrieve this heavy incinerator weapon, which I haven't used yet. I've just given to whoever was with me to store. I think it was Nick. So I was like, here, take it. And then, but also to go with that, while I was on my way to the Ironworks, I ran into a dude who was like, my son has gone to go be part of their group. And I forgot what they're called now. I don't know. But
yeah, you know, now that you mentioned that, there was someone, where was it? Boston Common? Maybe it was Boston Common. Boston Common is the park. There's some part of that is basically a marketplace where I ended up having a similar conversation. It was when I walked up to a bartender and his son having an argument because the son wanted to go join the Institute and save the sins. And the dad was all pissed about that, saying you shouldn't be doing that. And you kind of get involved in conversation. Yeah, that was... Sorry, you just reminded me of that with your kind of...
Yeah. This one was just, you talk to this guy. He's like, his son's run off to go be with these people. And he's like basically disowned his son. And basically he says to you, but they also, my son took them my sword that's been in my family for hundreds of years. Get that back. I don't care about my son. Just get the sword back to me. I was like, okay. He was like, I don't care about my son, Jake. He left. Like, he's dead to me now. I was like, oh, okay. But I go in the Ironworks.
The obvious course of action is you go and kill the son, get the sword, and then go kill the dad.
So I got
with the sword,
I guess, but
with the family sword.
Yeah. So I went in, I finished all that part, and then there's a little like another door that goes in, and then you fight the boss of the leader of the team, which is, I think his name's called Slag, I think. It's basically like they're in the crucible and the what's it works, but they like make them like they throw people into the melting hot iron to kill them. I was like, geez, they're kind of messed up. They make their new recruits like walk in it or try and walk on top of it.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, I have not heard about this at all. This sounds like my mind quest, though.
So, but then I go in there and I rescue Jake. So I go in there, I killed the boss. And I talk to Jake as well. And Jake's like, my dad doesn't want me back. And it gives you the option of like, lie to Jake. So I lied and said, oh, no, he sent me for you. Nothing else. Which is a lie. So, but I ended up saving him. He helped me fight the boss. He turns on him, helps me fight him. And then I kill the boss. The boss has the sword, but he's like it's like an incinerator sword now. Which is kind of cool.
Even cooler.
Yeah.
Is the boss just a regular human?
Yeah, he's like a buffed up raider.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's basically what he is. So I took him out, and then we went back, and Jake says, like, oh, meet me back, like, halfway between, and then we'll go talk to my dad. I'm like, okay. You drop him off, talk to his dad, and dad's like, I don't love you anymore. You know my son does it on you. And then the wife goes, like, shut up.
Yeah.
He's like, and then he turns like, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, son, I love you. And then I keep the sword. He like forgets about the sword and I get to keep it. So
even better. So you have an incinerator sword and a serrated sword.
So I have, which actually does less than the sword I have now. So I was like, I may switch it, but we'll see.
I mean, maybe you can upgrade it to do more damage.
Yeah. So that was that one. I mean, it's not super worth it. I mean, I don't know what the incinerator thing's like, but
right.
I think I did one called Troubled Waters, which I think you did, Troubled Waters, which was where I went to that greenhouse where all the Mr. Handys were.
Yes.
And the female Mr. Handy said, can you go to this water treatment plant? And like, basically you just, I did that.
You go in, it's guarded outside by super mutants and there's a bunch of mire lurks on the inside.
Yep. That was it.
I'm not just kind of lower the, that's the one that I thought was going. Like the Ocarina of Time water temple. You just gotta lower the water levels and then
that's right. I remember you saying that. Yeah, you just you just lower the water levels all the way down until you're done. So there's not really much in that.
It's but it was still interesting enough and
it was still interesting.
Providing clean water for the greenhouse run by Mr. Handys. Whatever. That can't actually eat the crops.
That, what are they called? Oh, it's Miss White.
That's some irony.
It's Miss White, Miss Brown, Mr. Brown. They're all the colors that they are. Mr. Green.
Oh, that's almost like a...
That's what they're called.
Okay, it could like, just be a standard color thing, or it's like a Reservoir Dog reference.
I was going to say, someone was obviously a fan of Reservoir Dogs.
Got to see who Mr. Pink is there.
Yeah. So there's that one, and then I'm trying to see. I did a couple of those, but I'm trying to... Another one was called... So another one that I actually finished on my way in the Glowing Sea was called Echoes of the Past, which I don't know if you found this place. It was for this, it was for this part of these other quests with, oh my gosh, who are the guys? Start with a C. Oh, I don't know, a group of people. But there was like this Atlantic offices that I had to go in and clear out. You might have actually just accidentally run across it in the Glowing Sea.
I might have skipped it all together. Yeah, I didn't go in any buildings.
I was only able to find it because I had done the previous quests, and it tells you, like, follow the homing beacon to these offices. Nope.
Yep.
So you follow the homing beacon.
I did not do that.
Yeah, so I was able to do that. It was hard. I will say it was tricky. I was in power armor, but these guys have better power armor. But one of them dropped, like, this, like, laser Gatling gun that I picked up, and I was able to destroy a few of them. That was kind of cool. Okay, and then what I did was I swapped my power armor out for theirs, because theirs was like up to an upgrade. It starts at Mark 1. They had Mark 5. Yeah, they had high power armor. It was like double, almost triple the amount of health that mine had. So I just swapped all like torso, legs, arms, helmet for that one. So now I have a strong thing of power armor.
If I end up back in the glowing sea, I'm going to go seek it out. Yeah.
It was not easy. And I was like, in the glowing sea, when I finished that, half of my health bar was radiation.
Radiation? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, that was about it. But yeah, those were my the main side quests. So.
I mean, now we've gotten through quite a bit of interesting side quests here. That one sounds especially awesome with the superpower armor.
It's part of the, what was the other? It's part of the Speak of the Devil one, where I got that devil armor.
Speak of the
Devil
is another. And is Speak of the Devil is the
one of those creation ones.
Creation club ones, yeah.
But this was, I think,
I turned those markers off.
It ends, I think, ending of that. Yeah.
So those Creation Club ones, I mean, they're mods, right? So they sound, but they're mods that were integrated into the main game. That
I guess.
Sounds fun. That's like someone, Creation Club.
They're not easy, though. Yeah. I will say, Speak of the Devil one is a little, it's difficult overall. I've got it done, but I did die quite a bit doing the whole thing, like all of it.
Right. And so, so at the end of that, you were already going through the Glowing Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean the Glowing Sea itself, right? That I will say that hazmat suit I found out in Tradecraft was pretty handy here.
Yeah, I
wear that as the base layer, and then wear the power armor, full set of power armor over it. And I don't think I didn't look at the stats for either of them, but I don't think I got any radiation until I was getting attacked by people, mostly by rad scorpions, and eventually. The Death Claw? Did you run into the Death Claw?
Yes, I did. But before I actually got to the Glowing Sea, while I was on my way there, you go through like a little park. Like there's a park, like sort of just before it. And I was walking through it. It's like a little ranger park. And there were some robots in one of the cabins. And I started them up. They were like Protectrons ones, and so they just do their job. And then there's little huts around, and I walked up to another hut, and I saw something glowing inside. And then I stopped because I looked, and I was like, "That is a glowing bright green nuclear death claw." I was like, "Nope," and I turned around, and went the other way. I know how hard they are, and I fought something that's nuclear green before, like a ghoul.
Yeah, the legendary.
And it was 5 to 10 times stronger than the regular ones, and it was hard. So I was
I'm not sure, in any other game I feel like it would have just popped out at you when you start trying to run away, but luckily you were able to walk in the other direction.
I walked away. But yes, so then when I got into the Glowing Sea and I walked about a little bit into the Glowing Sea, I walked over a hill, and my first encounter was with two Death Claws, one of them being a legendary Death Claw. And I literally just ran in circles, throwing grenades, literally as I'm running, sort of throwing grenades at my feet and running. So then the Death Claw is chasing me, gets hit, and I was shooting. I didn't have Nick with me. I had Ada, who's a robot, with me.
Ada.
Yeah, Ada is her name. Yeah, it's another side quest I had started.
You got that from?
Yeah, I started last week. It was called A New Threat, is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But I had her with me, and she's actually pretty powerful. But she went down kind of fast when one is legendary and one is regular. And so I just had
the double Death Claw, that's no fun.
Yeah, I know. I was just running for my life, and then just kind of, I think with a laser, I have one of the laser pistols, I think that was doing the most damage, so I was doing that. And then my melee sword was doing quite a bit. So I just, when I got them low enough, I would slash at them. But it took me a while.
You were able to kill them both?
Yeah, I was able to kill them both, but I used a lot of health to get through that.
Solid. That's a pretty... I'm impressed.
Yeah, that was my first encounter in the Glowing Sea. And then I had some rad scorpions.
I know. I saw rad scorpions pretty much all the way until I ended up at the... What was it? It was like the... Oh, you end up running into the camp of the Children of Adam, who are just kind of even cultier than the Brotherhood of Steel. And
yeah. Is it Crater of Adam or whatever? Of Adam? Yeah, it's...
Yeah, the crater, yeah, which I think is where actually the nuke that you see in the intro, the prologue, is... I think that's where the nuke hit. Because it's a pretty large crater. And they send... I mean, you talked to her for like a minute or something, the leader of that group, and then they send you on your way to Virgil, and it was like right before the cave. Virgil's cave is where I ended up fighting this Deathclaw, and he just destroyed Nick immediately. I was doing the slow-mo Vats missile launcher thing and forgot to pull out the Fat Boy, which would have been useful in that moment. So that was dumb. But otherwise, I just kept kind of, running in circles, and it killed me a couple times, but eventually took it out.
Yeah, that was my third Deathclaw.
I think you're a much, much higher level than I am, or like a handful of levels at any given moment. From the type of side quests that you've done, well, I've mostly just been going to random buildings, which doesn't give you as much experience. So I'm changing my strategy now. But
I also have, what is it? So, what is it on the top that it gives you? I have the one that maxes. So the amount of intelligence points I have it maxed. Yeah, I have it maxed out. So I'm getting the max amount of experience points that you can gain.
Probably one or two shy of that. So that's where my next points are going into.
Yeah. It's a helpful thing because it definitely...
For sure.
Yeah.
It is interesting. You've got to pump stats into experience gain, but oh well. And I mean, I guess otherwise, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I use a lot of Rad X or Rad Away or whatever it was to get through.
I started, once the Deathclaw started hitting me, I started using Rataway a lot because I needed it to survive that. And he was destroyed multiple pieces of the power armor. And so I was exposed to the radiation. So at that point, right, I had no other option. The hazmat suit still helped, but I wasn't completely insulated like I had been the whole hike there. I think, throughout the whole Glowing Sea, right, the map marker was obviously there the whole time, but I kind of just purposely got lost and was just kind of roaming around. But it was pretty enjoyable to go through when you're not getting affected by radiation. I was able to grind a few levels by just wandering through and killing things.
Nice.
And then you finally end up finding Virgil, and he's a super mutant. Didn't expect that. And he just wants to be free from the Institute, and he feels for you about Sean and wants to help you find Sean. So he gives you this quest to recover a serum to reverse his super mutation. Good for him. I'm dying to help out if he'll help me out. So he gives you some information. It's kind of funny to see a super mutant wearing glasses.
Yeah, well, it's very sort of Hulk.
Yeah, like Smart Hulk Banner. Or whatever from...
Yeah, Smart Hulk.
From Endgame. Yeah, again, this game came out before that movie did, so I wonder where the inspiration really came from.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I also haven't read millions of Marvel comic books, and maybe Smart Hulk existed before that movie. Probably. Chicken and the egg here. Hulk or Virgil. But at that point, did the quest end right there?
Yeah, that one does. The Glowing Sea does there, because then he talks to you about the Corsair.
Yeah, Corsair. I'm just glad that he gives you a fast travel point at his cave, because the whole hike through the Glowing Sea doesn't sound great every single time.
So when I first got to his cave and I went in, I shot the turrets, and I realized that was a bad idea, because then it made him an enemy. So luckily I had, after I'd fought that Deathclaw just outside, I saved.
Yeah, oh yeah, whenever you kill something giant, you gotta save.
I reloaded the save and went in, and I was like, why did I, because like, I didn't know if they were going to shoot at me. I think that's why. And I was like, I'm just going to walk past. I was like, it's supposed to be me talking to him. Yeah. I was like, I'm not supposed to kill him. So
It wouldn't be good to fail the,
no, fail that would have been bad.
The main story quest. Yeah. I walked in and saw those turrets there, and then I just kind of inched forward, and I was like, I'm going to shoot these if they take a single shot at me, but they didn't actually. And so I went and turned off the can alarm thing, and then walked up and was like, wait a minute, why is the super mutant not attacking? Because no one ever told you he was a super mutant when you walked in there or before you got the quest. But so that ends that, and then you're on the, I guess, hunter hunted, as in the coursers are usually the hunters. They're hunting the other escaped institute, refugees, and now it becomes the hunted. suppose that's what that's supposed to mean. But if, you know, it felt to me mostly just like a dungeon with a boss fight of you eventually go, you know, you plow through a bunch of the, they're not raiders, are they? What are they called?
Gunners?
Gunners, yes. The gunners? Other gang. Yeah, they're the gunners. So you fight through waves of gunners as you climb this building. And then you end up reaching the courser, which we'd only seen a courser before in that memory den flashback, but that one looked like a normal synth, and this one looks like a person. So I walked up to him, because that's where the quest marker was, and I started talking to him, and I thought it was some member of the gunners or something trying to have a conversation, like, oh, he's going to be over there. But no, it ended up being him, and I said, oh, I'm here for the synth. And yeah, he just started shooting at me.
Yep.
But you're in like a really small room. And so I was in power armor because I knew I was about to fight a tough enemy. And so I hit the psycho buff again, pulled out my missile launcher, and from like 10 feet away, just launched maybe 10 missiles at him. And that's how I finished that fight very quickly.
Nice. He goes in. Yeah. Did he go invisible on you?
He went invisible, but it's that kind of, you know, not making it impossible, gamey invisible, where you can still see like some weird.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
You can see light shifting around or whatever around the shape. So I. Nick was distracting him basically. So he was just kind of backed against a wall and I just kept missile, 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 missile. And then right after I think the second to last missile, he stopped. He became visible again. So I just knocked him in the face. Because Vats can't target an invisible enemy, by the way. As a constant VATS user, I, you know, it also makes me realize I have a stockpile now of this thing called a Stealth Boy, an item that I haven't used yet, but probably is what that does.
I think it is, but I don't even know if I have any of those. I've seen them around. I just don't think I picked them up.
Oh no,
but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it does.
Yeah, pick up most of those, but I'll probably start trying that. Maybe the stealth ending to this thing might be useful. But you know, did you do anything fancy to kill this guy, or just kind of
as my sword, and I was able to, like, as you said, I had Nick with me for this. I swapped out Ada for Nick for this mission, and got Nick, and he was just kind of on him, but you could tell where he was, so I was like kind of behind him, and I was just like slashing from behind until he died.
Okay, solid. So, down and dirty.
It took a few. I mean, he took definitely more hits than anybody else, but yeah, otherwise.
It felt like a very straightforward, just like get through the hordes and then kill the boss type quest. But hey, we were able to recover the courser chip and the next quest already started automatically.
Yes.
Could be worse. Yeah, I mean, I think that covers everything that I ran through. Is there anything else on your end?
No, that was everything I went through for this week and for all my missions.
So I'd bring this up at the beginning, but it just came to mind now because you've been talking so much about using your serrated sword. Did you see the 8-minute gameplay trailer for this week for the game called Fate Keeper?
No, I did not.
So it's a game, I think 3 months ago or so, there was the announcement trailer for it, which had some, like, it was like half cinematic, but I saw it now, and it's supposedly supposed to be like it's not by Bethesda, but it very much feels like a highly upgraded Skyrim or Elder Scrolls type game, where it's first person RPG, melee combat, and magic, like no guns. I don't know if you'll get, you know, crossbow, bow and arrow type things eventually, but the 10 minutes total of gameplay footage that's come out, it looks awesome. It's not souls like from what the devs described it as. There's maybe some influences, but it just, if you watch this trailer, it just feels so weighty because the direction that the guy swings the sword or the axe that he has in, and where it hits the end, it doesn't just like, it seems much more realistic. Like, obviously, you're fighting orc type things or whatever, so it's not realistic, but the combat itself seems realistic because the direction the sword swipes in and where it hits the enemy it like knocks them over in the direction that you were swinging. It doesn't like just phase through them and do damage, like a number of damage. It like knocks them around or hits them backwards or whatever. So I would suggest watching that trailer because, you know, I haven't played any Elder Scrolls games, but I think I will play this Fate Keeper game. Looks great.
Yeah, I'll definitely look that up. That does sound intriguing to me.
Anyway, for next time, our goal is to play and complete the main story quest called the Molecular Level, which if you just finish Hunter Hunted like we did, automatically started. And it sounds like soon after completing the Molecular Level, if not part of it, based on your choices that you've made so far, the main story quest options split off in different directions. So feel free to play as many of these as you want and then save and, you know, finish the Molecular Level for sure. Do some other of these main story quests. At least on my end, I'm not going to do any side quests for the moment. But then save and quit until next time. Just definitely do not start the main quest. I'm going to keep spoilers out of this, but don't start the main quest that has the word nuclear in it, since that is the path to the end credits that we will do next time. That is all.
All right. We got it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening this week. Hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. And hopefully you guys are doing also as many side quests. And if you haven't, definitely do the Silver Shroud side quest. It's fun. That's
been one of the most entertaining ones so far, yeah, for sure. It's
definitely unique. So highly recommend that one. But again, thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Knave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.